Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's now time for the North Shore Drive podcast. The Pittsburgh Steelers are in the playoffs facing the Buffalo Bills. We're going to talk about this matchup, but also how the Steelers got here, all the factors that are going to play into this matchup, and if the Steelers can finally get a playoff win for the first time since 2017. All here in the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipato. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello and welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipato, one of our esteemed Steelers beat writers, and we are here talking about a Steelers playoff team for the third time in 4 years. They've made it to the dance. We'll get to talking about all the things to look at for this team. As always, you can find this show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and sometimes Saturday episodes from the North Shore Drive podcast. And go to post-gazette.com to get all of our written work there. This show is also brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar to experience their 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local and 80 of those local beers being available on tap. You'll never run out of options because, trust me, I never do, and I'm always there. They have over 20 televisions. If you want to watch the Steelers game somewhere in Pittsburgh, if you can't make it to Buffalo, there's no better place to go than Mike's Beer Bar. They also have amazing food options. We'll get more to that later. Ray, before we dive into the matchup with the Bills, I want to just get your impression of how this team made it to the playoffs and where they are right now compared to the last time they made the playoffs 2 years ago with the 2021 team, because, you know, they're only a game better, I think, or a game and a half better, because that team was 9-7-1. I guess a half game better. That's the best way to put it. But still, people are looking at this team and they see the record, and there's some people out there that might think, they are just sneaking into the playoffs. They probably can't do anything. Do you feel like this might be a team that's in a better position to do damage in the playoffs than that team?
I don't know if they're in a better position, Chris. I think what Mike Tomlin and his staff did a really good job this year of was weathering the storm with all the injuries. And if you remember, it went back, to the preseason and even, you know, in the opener when Deontay Johnson and Cam Hayward were injured and had to go on IR, and the injuries just, they didn't stop. I mean, in the second half of the season, the big storyline has been the backup inside linebackers and now the backup safeties. And I think when you look at it, we all know every team deals with injuries. And I'm just looking at the Indianapolis Colts, all the injuries they had. They lost their quarterback, Richardson. They lost their running back, Jonathan Taylor, for a good portion of the second half of the season. But in the end, the Steelers did a better job of figuring out ways to win with their backup. So when I look at this season, Chris, that's what I think I'm going to remember the regular season for. Obviously, this big matchup in Buffalo this week, you know, no TJ Watt. It's going to be a tall assignment to go up there and to get a win. But over the past 3 weeks, I've learned not to underestimate this team. They figured out a pretty good formula. It's been working for them, and we'll see if they got one last upset in them in Buffalo.
Well, let's talk about TJ Watt for a second. Because after the game, the reports we were seeing, and mainly again from JJ Watt, who was kind of just streamlining all of us, what was happening. It was presumed that TJ Watt had a grade 3 MCL sprain, which if that's what it was, he would have just definitely been out the entire playoffs. There wouldn't have been a chance for him to come back. But it was then revealed Sunday that it was a grade 2 MCL sprain, which gives hope that he could be back in maybe a couple weeks. It's a better situation. For example, the Ravens safety, Kyle Hamilton, had a grade one MCL sprain earlier this year, and he didn't even miss a game. So there's a chance that TJ Watt could be back if they survive this first week. But Ray, as we've seen for years prior, surviving games without TJ Watt has been an extremely tall task for this Steelers organization. But I'd argue that since he's become like superstar TJ Watt, this might be the best suited that they've had to kind of just fill in for him. They can't replace TJ Watt, but they can have backups ready for him. And Nick Herbig and Marcus Golden might be the best 1-2 punch to fill in for him that they've had since he's become TJ Watt.
Yeah, Chris, they knew that was a big problem after last season, and they addressed it. You know, Nick Herbig was a guy who didn't come until the fourth round, but he was a very productive player at Wisconsin. And then kind of late in the process, I want to say, I think it was early in training camp or maybe late in OTAs, I forget, but they added Marcus Golden, who is a former college teammate of outside linebackers coach Denzel Martin. So you kind of knew when, you know, with Denzel here that Marcus was going to understand his role. There wasn't going to be that, you know, Melvin Ingram dynamic to it where he didn't understand what his role was going to be. Those guys have fit in really well. I go back and I look at last year. Malik Reed gave them almost nothing as their top backup. In previous seasons, you know, it was either Anthony Ciccolo or Cassius Marsh or someone of that ilk, and it just wasn't good enough when TJ or anyone else went down. You know, Bud Dupree went down a couple of years ago. They didn't have that depth, you know, to withstand a blow like that. We all know what the record is. It's going to be a major storyline this week, but I do agree with you. This is the best equipped they have been since TJ Watt has been here to survive a type of injury like this in the short term. Hey, if it's only one game, maybe they can do it. We saw what Herbig did out in Seattle. I don't know if they win that game without him. Golden, very quietly in limited snaps, has 4 sacks this year. And he's still bringing it with even at his advanced age. You know, so we'll see what happens Sunday. But, of course, that's going to be a major storyline this week. And, you know, we'll see what young Herbig and the old vet Marcus Golden can do.
And I'd also say, you know, a big part of this too is while they are losing TJ Watt, they're getting back both Minkah Fitzpatrick, who you reported, you know, said he'll be back if they're in the playoffs, and DeMonte KZ, who'll be coming off the suspension, which was reduced after the Colts game. So now their safety room is intact, especially with how well Eric Rowe has played and Patrick Peterson has played of late. Now I think there's a legitimate question: who do you play at safety primarily this week? Does Patrick Peterson go back to cornerback, or does he stay back there with Minkah Fitzpatrick? And then you decide between KZ and Rowe.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be an interesting dynamic. You know, Patrick Peterson didn't tackle well in that Ravens game. That's a little bit concerning for me. You know, that one touchdown drive, he was bad. That's really the reason why they got into the end zone for the first and only time in that football game. So having Minkah back is going to be huge in that regard. He's a sure tackler. You know, KZ is a good player. He knows where he has to be. So, you know, Peterson, I don't know what you do with him. Maybe you sort of just use him as that hybrid guy. Maybe you put him in the slot like you did a little bit early in the year. Although Chandon Sullivan's been playing okay too. So
they
got some options there. The nice thing about this year, and I don't think the Steelers had this last year when they went up there and lost, I think it was, 38-3, Chris? Mm-hmm. They got Joey Porter, who can follow Stephon Diggs around now. Yep. And, you know, you could sort of configure the matchups on the other receivers however you wish, but if he's able to lock down Stephon Diggs or just limit him, don't let him go off and have a big game, I think you could sort of figure out the secondary – you know, matchups there. I think the tight end matchup is going to be big in this game. They got good tight ends. The Steelers have had issues covering tight ends this year. So I think there's a real opportunity for a bunch of safeties to get playing time in this game. And I think Minkah might be challenged right off the bat with, you know, some matchups against Dawson Knox and, you know, some of those other Bills tight ends who have done a good job this year.
Absolutely. I want to talk more about that matchup specifically, because this is not going to be an easy matchup. And in fact, I think of the three teams they could have played going into this weekend, they could have played the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Dolphins. I actually think the Bills are the hardest draw of those three teams. I want to get your thoughts on that, Ray. On the other side of this break here of the North Shore Drive podcast and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. But first, I want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you're coming to Pittsburgh, if you want to see the best bar, it's Mike's Beer Bar. It's right on Federal Street, right across the street from PNC Park. They have a lot of baseball memorabilia in there because they love their Pirates. But they also have over 20 televisions. So if you're coming to watch the Steelers game, if you're and you want a place to check it out with a bunch of other Steelers fans, there's no better place to see it. You'll see all the TVs. You'll celebrate with all the Steelers fans all throughout the game, Sunday, 1 p.m. when they face the Bills. Or if you just want to come to watch any sporting event, you can even reserve a table with a TV to make sure that you're watching the game that you want to see. Maybe you want to watch the college football championship Monday night or anything else. But while you're there, you're also enjoying one of 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area, and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. And they're always switching new ones in and out, so that you can always get a new experience when you're coming to Mike's Beer Bar. They also have their steak on a stone meal, where you can choose your choice cut of steak brought to you on a heated stone. And every time you cut a piece off and you press it into the stone, you choose how well done you want every single piece to get the best experience. It's Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. Go to Mike's Beer Bar to get your sports fix and experience the best bar in Pittsburgh. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you. We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Ray, let's talk about this Bills team. I said that at the end of the break there, that this would be, of the two teams, I thought this would be the toughest draw for them to get it, simply because I thought the Dolphins were really banged up, and as we kind of even saw on Sunday Night Football. And I haven't been confident about the Chiefs. Or I've been inspired by watching the Chiefs lately. Their defense is tougher this year, but outside of Travis Kelce, they haven't developed a real receiving threat. And this is the most human Patrick Mahomes has ever looked because of it. And meanwhile, well, the Bills, they can also be very, mercurial and very up and down. They're playing hotter of late. And with Diggs and Davis and Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox and James Cook's emergence, I just feel like they're probably the most capable offense that they'll play, and they don't have a bad defense either.
Yeah, Chris, when you look at this matchup statistically, the Bills have a top five or top 10 offense, both in scoring and total offense, and in scoring and total defense. The one area where the Steelers might be able to have a little bit of success is that they're not a great run defense. So maybe that's the one area that the Steelers can kind of hone in on and maybe attack. But I think you're right. I was thinking about this yesterday when it was still undecided. Are they going to go to Kansas City or are they going to go to Buffalo? Let's take this season out of the equation. Let's just talk about intangibles. Do you want to go to Kansas City and play that playoff hardened Super Bowl caliber roster that's been there and done that? Or do you want to go to play a Buffalo team that's playing better this year, but has all those ghosts of the playoffs in the past, including a bad home playoff loss to the Bengals last year? So my point is, if you can jump on them early, okay, you can put some doubt into their minds. We've all seen Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen go at it like cats and dogs in the past. They're a team that I think can fall apart pretty quickly, if things go bad. But you got to put them in that position. You got to play well early. You got to do all those things to put yourself in a position to make that happen. So I agree with you. I think stylistically, and you look at just the matchups and the way these two teams are structured, it's not a great matchup for the Steelers. But the playoffs is a whole different animal. And there's an emotional element to it, and there's a mental element to it. And I don't know how Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and those other guys who have kind of choked in the past, I don't know how they're going to handle that again if they get behind early.
Well, let's focus on one of those guys, and that's Josh Allen. He's going to be the key focus of this game. He's a guy that, some people make the case he should be, NFL MVP. And look, He has the most touchdowns scored of any player in the NFL. I think he has, what, 29 passing touchdowns and 15 rushing touchdowns. That's 44 touchdowns. That's a lot of scoring that he does. But he also turns the ball over quite a bit. He has 7 fumbles and 18 interceptions on the year. And he's now facing a Steelers defense that has created the 8th most turnovers in the NFL, the 11th most interceptions in the NFL. And that's in a year where I think Minkah Fitzpatrick's probably played maybe 8 complete games and hasn't recorded an interception yet this season. Do you see as maybe Josh Allen's kind of, not, I wouldn't say carelessness, because he does like take care of the football. He tries to try to take care of the football, but he's a risk taker. He wants to make the big play, and sometimes that gets his team into more trouble. Do you see that as an advantage that could work in the Steelers' favor in this game?
Listen, it could. I think everyone who watched that Buffalo-Miami game on Sunday night saw them go up and down the field. I mean, Josh Allen had a great game statistically, but he turned the ball over early in that football game, and they had to, they had to have a good second half to win the AFC East and get that number 2 seed. And one of the touchdowns came on a punt return. So he had the big red zone pick early in that game, and he had another pick, that set back that football team. So I think they're a team that's capable of scoring 31, 35, 38 points, Chris, but they're also capable of a performance like yesterday where they can go up and down the field, but they can have key turnovers. And, all of a sudden they're in a football game that maybe when you look at the stats, they shouldn't be in. So that's the reason that Ken Dorsey got fired halfway through the season. Mm. They were careless with the football, too many turnovers. It's been better with Joe Brady designing the offense and calling the plays. But, we saw last night down in Miami that, that can come back to bite them again. So, to me, that's what this game was all about. The Steelers have been good at forcing turnovers. The Bills have been a team that's coughed it up quite a bit. So if that happens, I fully expect the Steelers to be in this game. But, you got to go out there and make it happen. Minkah Fitzpatrick is back. I know he hasn't been the turnover machine that we all thought he was going to be this year. But maybe he's got one or two in him, Chris, that can help turn the tide of this football game.
Maybe. And Josh Allen has thrown 4 interceptions in his last 3 games against the Dolphins, Patriots, and Chargers. Like you said, it's not just him. This is an offense that's fully loaded with talent. Stephon Diggs, also big. You talked about Joey Porter Jr. earlier in the show. How ready is he for a matchup like that? Because he's faced a lot of them this year. He's faced DeAndre Hopkins. He's faced Amari Cooper. He's faced DK Metcalf. He's lined up against some big-name receivers, and Stephon Diggs is right up there. I think this is a unique opportunity for him on a big stage to show just how much he's grown as a rookie.
Yeah, listen, Chris, if the Steelers want to take Diggs away, they can do that. They can put Joey Porter on him and kind of bracket him or double cover, always have a safety on him, or they can go the other direction. They can put a different corner on him and always give them help in double cover and, force Dawson Knox to beat you or Gabe Davis or any of those other secondary receivers that the Bills have. They're good players and they're certainly capable of stepping up. So, it's going to be interesting to see what the Steelers do. I would mix it up a little bit. I would put Porter on Diggs one-on-one on occasion. I'd see how that went early, but I would also double cover the heck out of him. He's one of the top 10 receivers in the league, I think, and you don't want him to get going and to sort of take over a playoff game. The Steelers have options, even with all the injuries here over the final 3 weeks of the regular season, Chris. They've done a pretty decent job of keeping a lid on it. They haven't been outscored by teams, so we'll see if they can keep it up. But I like Porter's demeanor. He talked about it last week. He wants these matchups. He craves them. And I think at the very least, he's going to get a taste of Diggs in one-on-one and early in this game. And then we'll see how it goes from there.
Absolutely. We did a lot of talk about the defense. But I want to talk about the offense for a little bit, because I think one of the biggest assets that could play into this game is that of the units on the field that'll take the field on Sunday, the Steelers offense might have the smallest amount of tape to study it and the direction that it's going. And that might be an advantage or it might just be setting the Steelers up to fail in a really bad way. I want to talk about that, though, on the other side of this next break here on the North Shore Drive podcast of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, stick with us. But first, I want to remind you, we're brought to you by Savinas Kane & Gallucci. They're mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinas Kane & Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co, the website that you need to go to right now to buy tickets to your favorite events without it being stressful. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets to all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. If you ever had to buy tickets for an event but weren't comfortable with how much you were paying because you weren't sure about how good the seats were, that kind of stuff happens to me all the time. If you're trying to wait for the last minute to get the best price, sometimes you're going up to the arena for the concert or the game or whatever you're going to, and you're thinking, oh, maybe I'll try to see what they have at the ticket booth. Like, ah, no, those are some expensive prices still. Or you see some great prices from some scalpers who are trying to get you some tickets. You're like, ah, I don't know if this is a really good ticket. Well, Game Time is where you can beat both instances right there, because Game Time is going to get you the best prices. And in the app that you can download right on your phone called Game Time, you can see the view from the seats every time you're looking at them, so that you know that you're getting the right value for the right price. And Game Time's so confident they're going to get you the best price on your seats, they're promising you a best price guarantee that if you find tickets in the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to the website GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account, redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're back here in the North Shore Drive podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo. Ray, this Steelers offense is not the Steelers offense that we saw for most of the year. I mean, a lot of players in the same thing, still the same playbook, but they're playing at a different level, even with just scoring 17 points against the Ravens. Ray, you were at that game. It looked like a monsoon on television. The cameras to the game couldn't stay dry. We were looking at it. It was like we were looking at it through, you know, a rainy windshield. Do you find it remarkable that Mason Rudolph was able to go 18 of 20 for 150 and a touchdown? Or do you think that was kind of just an average performance for a quarterback, regardless of the weather?
No, I mean, I think both quarterbacks had to deal with that weather, wet balls the entire game. I think that's why it was so important that the Steelers running game controlled the line of scrimmage in that football game. And, you know, the Ravens, I think the Ravens had over 100 yards rushing, but they didn't get that until late in the game. And I thought that was the biggest difference in the game. It's interesting. First play of the fourth quarter was that pass to Deontay Johnson. I don't think it's any coincidence that there was a dry ball on the field, you know, and they had a chance to, get a good grip there. And, you know, that was a great throw. I mean, he led him in stride, split the safeties there. And, that was, a great catch and run by Mason and Deontay. So, that game you almost have to take with a grain of salt. Mason was really good in that Bengals game, and he was really good against Seattle too. So provided the weather is okay, and we kind of don't know what to expect. I think they're expecting some weather up there over the weekend. We don't know if it's going to snow yet, but first time I looked was 26 and cold but clear on game day. So if it's like that, I think Mason will have a chance to go out there and make some plays again.
I think he'll have a chance, and I think that he'll get a chance to go out there. And this is a Steelers offense, like I said before, that I think they're still they found their identity, you know. And Najee Harris has said as much in recent weeks. He's come out and said, like, hey, we're playing to what we want to be. And you could even see in that Ravens game, and I know the Ravens were playing backups and everything, but so were the Steelers. That was a game where the Ravens did want to win, and they did start several people, including Patrick Queen, who I thought they'd sit in that game. But the Steelers were still able to run the ball. Najee Harris was still looking like a strong running back. Isaac Seumalo blocked his butt off in that game. And I also thought, you know, Broderick Jones was getting after it there, and it created space for the Steelers' run game. I look at this and I say, if I'm a team, I have a very small window of study of what this Steelers offense actually is right now, because you got Najee Harris in this run game. They've started to break out over the past like 10 weeks or so. And I think over the last 10 games, they have 8 games over 100 yards rushing as a team, 7 games over 130 yards rushing as a team. So like they've put that out there, but they haven't had that with an efficient passing game, which you've only had for the last three games, where Mason Rudolph has had three straight games with a passer rating of 112 or higher. And I think that could provide an interesting test for teams that want to come out and game plan for what the Steelers want to do, and a chance for the Steelers to basically counter. It's like, you think that what we did the last three games is what we're going to lead off with? Maybe not. Switch it up and catch them off guard.
Yeah, I think we saw two different approaches over the final 3 weeks. I think if you look at what Zach Taylor and Pete Carroll did, they were willing to put Deontay Johnson and George Pickens in one-on-one situations with their outside corners, and they were willing to take their chances to see how that went. And, you know, Pickens and Johnson made both of those teams pay. I think you saw a different approach in this game. I think, you know, Mason came out and said after the game they pretty much double-covered Pickens the entire game. They weren't going to let him dictate the terms of that football game. And other than Deontay Johnson making that one play, there wasn't a lot for the Steelers offense in that game. Freiermuth was held down, I think, 3 for 21. Najee Harris also had 21 receiving yards. So my point is, which way are the Bills going to lean here? Do you want to take Pickens out of the equation? He's their number one receiver, and you want to take your shot covering Johnson and Freiermuth one-on-one? Or do you want to just pack it in and, hey, Mason, if Mason Rudolph can beat us deep by throwing to George Pickens, then maybe we'll take our chances. So I think we've seen two different approaches by these coaches here over the final 3 weeks, and it'll be interesting to see what Sean McDermott does here. I don't know. The way the Steelers are playing now, they seem to have an answer for everything, so I'm kind of anxious to see how that's going to unfold on Sunday.
Same here, and this is a Bills secondary, too, that's pretty interesting right now. Tre'Davious White's on injured reserve, but Teron Johnson, Rasul Douglas, and former Pitt cornerback Dane Jackson play a role here. I don't expect – DeMar Hamlin's been inactive a lot this year, but still, there are three safety look of Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Taylor Rapp. Those are all three very competent guys that can move around the secondary and give you certain looks. But, you know, that's not a secondary with a lockdown guy who I think can just wipe out Pickens. So if they want to double him, that's fine. But I think Mason Rudolph, one of the things that he's shown, I think, that has been the most impressive with this year is he's been able to use players as decoys and work around them. And, you know, he did that with his first game against the Bengals. He admitted we knew they would try to take away Pat Freiermuth because he had 120 yards against the Bengals when Kenny Pickett started, and they did. And so he went to George Pickens. And then you saw with this last game against the Ravens, he had talked about it. Yeah, they were doubling George all game, but you know what? He went other places, and sure, wasn't for a whole lot of yards, but again, in a monsoon, that's a lot tougher. He only threw two incomplete passes. One was on, and both were just on third downs. One where he tried to force a ball over the middle, almost got intercepted. Another where he tried to get a deep ball and just it looked like Deontay Johnson just lost sight of the ball when it was in the air in the monsoon. But looking at how he played there and how he's played these last 3 weeks, I think his biggest strength is reading the defense and just taking what's there. He's not trying to be the ultimate playmaker. He's not trying to do the things that Josh Allen does. He's trying to play within the Steelers scheme. And I think that could be a very big advantage to the Steelers if he's able to do that, avoid the big mistakes, and give the Steelers playmakers chances when the Bills defense isn't, you know, all over them.
Yeah, a couple of things to keep an eye on. Rasul Douglas was injured in that game on Sunday night. I don't think he returned to that game, so that's definitely going to be something to watch. You already mentioned White being on IR. He's their top corner. So we'll have to watch that injury as the week goes on. And, you know, Jackson, I know he's a local guy, but he had a PI and he had a defensive holding in that game. And, you know, I think if there's one guy that maybe teams are going to hone in on in that Bill secondary, I think, you know, Jackson is the guy. So we'll see if the Steelers can maybe create some matchups with Deontay Johnson one-on-one with him, or maybe Calvin Austin one-on-one with him. It seemed like Jackson was having a hard time keeping up with the Dolphins receivers last night. So, yeah, I think the matchup there, I think, is a decent one for the Steelers. We all know they want to run the ball. That's what they're going to focus on first and foremost. But we've seen over the last 3 weeks when they've had opportunities to make plays in the passing game, guys like Pickens and Johnson, they've come through, and they've come through big time for the Steelers.
Absolutely. We'll have a lot more to break down throughout the week. The Steelers locker room opens up today on Monday, and then Mike Tomlin speaks on Tuesday. We'll have our team on hand for that all week long. Get all your Steelers updates for their playoff game against the Buffalo Bills this 1 p.m. Sunday right here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com for all our written work, and here on your podcasting app or on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily episodes of different content. This show, the North Shore Drive Podcast, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday this week as we get you ready for the season or get ready for this game all week long. Thanks so much for riding with us here in the North Shore Drive Podcast. From Chris Carter and Ray Fittipaldi, we'll see you very soon here on the show, keeping you up to date with your Pittsburgh Steelers. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive Podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.